Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night contemplative service. Welcome to all of you that are present here this evening. And for those of you joining us online, welcome as well. And from our sacred space to your sacred space, we send the love of God. And we begin our service in the name of God omnipresent, God transcendent, and God immanent. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from Matthew, chapter 20. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Well, the Gospels tend to highlight the separation between higher centers and lower centers perception by revealing how out of touch the disciples often can be. And the voice that's given to that is usually Peter, who's given all the dumb lines. But I think the mother of James and John take the cake here. talk about not reading the room, the upper room. And so she either has this belief that Jesus' kingship, the kingdom, is still an earthly thing, where Jesus can command that John and James sit on the right and left hand. And of course, I think the disciples still had this slip-sliding view that Jesus was going to restore the throne of David in this earthly world. And he was constantly correcting them on that point. And if she understood that Jesus was talking about a heavenly throne, she didn't understand the array of creation. Because who is Jesus going to command to have John and James sit on the right and left side? He's not going to command God to do that. And he has to set her straight on that in the passage. It is God's will on where you're going to sit. If you want to drink from my chalice, this is what has to be done. So, again, a problem we have with lower centers cannot apprehend higher centers unless they're properly prepared. And what the mother's also speaking to is this sense of vanity. My sons are going to be Jesus' right and left hand people. Now, it could be the sons, they respond, "Can you drink from this chalice?" And they say, "We can." That might represent pride, which is a more of an interior feature. Vanity is more external. Pride can kind of have a sense of remorse with it, a sense of duty with it. There is an inner pride. And they could be speaking to that. But they haven't calculated the cost, and I'm not sure they really understand what they're in for at this point. And they're just not properly oriented. The motivation to serve should be without regard to reward, a position, or status. Now, in Valentin and Tom Berg's Christ and Sophia, he addresses the idea of foot washing, which we've discussed in recent services. And there are a number of different spiritual dispositions of different religious faiths. And he describes them as fleeing upward, mounting the throne, and foot washing. Fleeing upward is what one does if you're trying to seek pure enlightenment. And what happens there is you regulate above and below so that you can reach this consciousness that you can flee the lower self, flee the world. The kundalini, moving from down low all the way up and coming off the head. Mounting the throne is disciplining those lower centers and to create a firm foundation for consciousness, but not through morality, but through a supply of force to claim power. And that's oftentimes the way of the yogi. It's ascent to the throne without being properly anointed. Now, what's totally different about Christianity is it's represented by foot washing. And this is how the message should be. The higher centers bow down to the lower centers. They are caring for the lower centers. Intellectual centers should care for the emotional center and the moving center. And the regulation occurrence are such that bowing before the lower center with compassion so the lower center can be transformed. But the lower centers need preparation. And for those of us that have been taking the Beelzebub classes, there's a story of one of Beelzebub's descent to earth. It's his second descent, where he meets a priest by the name of Abdil. And Beelzebub's mission is to get the earthlings, the three brain beings on earth, to cease with sacrifices, animal sacrifices. And so he spends about 10 pages in this chapter with a very, very well-reasoned intellectual center argument as to why they should not sacrifice animals to their gods. And Abdul, that awakens in Abdul his buried conscience. And he prays for 2 days straight and assimilates this. That's his preparation. And he goes out and he gives this address to the people in the square that went on for a day and a half, overnight. They stayed, they were rapturous at his delivery. And the sacrifice of animals diminished. But then the powers to be realized that they were going to lose some income from the loss of this sacrifice. And so they had him put to death. And he was martyred. That is intentional sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did. So higher centers can activate within us this sense of remorse or buried conscience to cause us to reach back. And if we think about it with higher centers, the higher centers sacrifice a lot in the course of involution. When God comes down the ray of creation and increasing density of matter with more laws that constrains that spirit, that's giving up a lot. But God has the capacity to do that through kenotic agape love. And in order for mankind to ascend the ray requires intentional suffering. So the ray of creation is marked with areas where there is giving up, sacrifice, and suffering. But it's to a higher good. And Mahatma Gandhi said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. So we look at this world that we're in now with all that's going on. And what do we witness in the leaders we see? Sometimes we see a lot of puffery, braggadocio, empty claims, covering up insecurities, inauthenticity, telling lies. But sometimes someone steps up, finds their moment, and they deliver, and they inspire. And I don't know how many of you saw President Volodymyr Zelensky's address to the joint session of Congress today. But I think it exemplifies what Ukraine is sacrificing for us in this world. They're sacrificing the loss of children, innocence, in their defiant insistence on their freedom. So I'd like to close with President Zelensky's closing to Congress. And hopefully this will rouse a buried conscience in us and our own redemption of our own freedom. Today, the Ukrainian people are defending not only Ukraine, we are fighting for the values of Europe and the world, sacrificing our lives for the sake of the future. That's why today, the American people are helping not just Ukraine, but Europe
and the world, to keep the planet alive, to keep justice in history. Now, I'm almost 45 years old. Today, my age stopped when the heart of more than 100 children stopped beating. I see no sense in life if it cannot stop these deaths. And this is my main mission as the leader of my people, brave Ukrainians, and as the leader of my nation. I'm addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader in peace. Thank you. Slava Ukraini. May it be so. Amen.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes.
Thank you all for your